This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm your host, Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and nearly 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available on podcast on iTunes. Simply go to the podcast app on your smartphone and search for DC 37 State of the Union. And you can also always check us out on our website, www.dc37.net. Call our hotline to stay up on events at 212-815-7555. And follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you've got any comments about our show, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. Martin Luther King in 1961 said the following: "We must guard against being fooled by false slogans such as right to work. It is a law to rob us of our civil rights and job rights. Its purpose is to destroy labor unions and the freedom of collective bargaining by which unions have improved wages and working conditions of everyone. Wherever these laws have been passed, wages are lower, job opportunities are fewer, and there are no civil rights. We do not intend to let them do this to us. We demand this fraud be stopped. Our weapon is our vote." Well, last week, voters in Missouri rejected a referendum preventing Missouri from becoming a so-called right-to-work state. And talking about this win for the labor movement, a very difficult time for public employees and public employees' unions, is Kathy Sherwin. She is the vice president of the Coalition of Labor Union Women of Missouri. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm glad to be with you today.
Well, you know, it was. There's been a lot of tough news over the past few months. The Janus decision at the Supreme Court level. But I also think that there has been a shifting tide, hopefully. And good news out of Missouri. We wanted to take some time to celebrate it and talk about it, and also maybe learn some lessons from it. Let's talk about what was going on in Missouri. A referendum was on the ballot. How did it get there?
Well, the referendum got on the ballot because when politicians pushed this law through, despite the concerns of a whole lot of people all over the state speaking up, they really rushed it through very quickly. And as soon as the governor's signature hit the paper, people started getting together, collecting signatures. And working people from all over Missouri got active and helped to put a pause on this law. And then this last session this spring, their politicians moved it to the primary ballot when it was finally certified. And there was more than 310,000 signatures from all over the state. So many people got involved.
Hold on a second, Kathy. Just let's take a step back. Elected officials, the state legislature, proposed this legislation, and then the only way to beat this legislation is to do it by referendum? Is that I just want to talk a little bit about the process so our listeners understand what happened.
Sure. So this was a law that was passed, a bill that was passed on by both chambers, the Missouri House and the Missouri Senate, and signed by the governor at that point in time. He's no longer the Missouri's governor. He resigned amid some scandals.
Ah.
But in the meantime, people, like I say, got together and collected these signatures to be able to put the referendum on the ballot. Because normally, once a bill signed by the governor, it becomes law, and it's difficult to
undo
about that.
Sure, sure. So you say you got 310. There were 310,000 signatures collected.
There were more than 310,000 signatures actually, and they were from all of the 8 congressional districts. So you had all these people from all over who came together and who who put this on the ballot. And it's just so inspiring to see all the different activity that was happening everywhere. You could literally go anywhere in Missouri and see people collecting the signature and look across social media. And it's just an all-hands-on-deck fight for really about the last 18 months.
And the there are now 27 states of the union that have right-to-work laws. What happened in Missouri? Is it the timing? Do you think people have just finally gotten the message that there is this move out there to break up unions and what that means for folks?
Well, Missouri is a little bit unique because it's already voted on a referendum on right-to-work before, back in 1978. And so you've got this history there, and a lot of people who I've been lucky to be able to work regionally and be across Missouri a lot of times in meetings, and whenever I've asked people in meetings who helped to win this fight back in 1978, I have never yet been any place in Missouri where somebody hasn't raised their hand and been able to be recognized for the fact that they helped to win this fight then. So there's a real wonderful institutional memory, and we were able to really build on the work of generations of working people to this time around, 40 years later in 2018.
So what were folks actually doing on the ground in Missouri? Was it really as simple as knocking on doors, or let's talk about some of the tactics that were used.
Well, they were first, like I said, there were signatures to be collected, and then there was awareness all throughout the campaign, talking with people on phone banks. There was tons and tons of people. There were lots of people door knocking. There were also any way you can contact people, I think people were doing, all over social media, coming out to parades and events, and I think there was just a moment where people were using every tool in the toolbox to just get out there and to talk about how right to work is wrong for Missouri.
You've been doing this for a little bit. Do you have a sense that the tide is turning out there in the homeland?
I do think that. I think there's a real moment in time when people are getting active, and now that people have all been talking about how important this is, and such a large margin of people, with a larger margin on Tuesday night that we saw coming out against right to work than it was back then, a generation ago. It's really a powerful moment in time, and I just think the activism that got us to this point has been so inspiring and all-encompassing. I mean, there were people who have never been in Missouri who did what they could to pitch in. There's a lot going on. I think there's a lot to build on. And the victory on Tuesday was something that's so important to so many people.
You know, one of the problems that has existed for progressives and particularly in terms of elections are the midterm elections. Our folks tend to come out for the presidential candidates, and then these elections happen in between presidential elections, and very important things happen in terms of state officials being elected who are passing laws that affect the lives of working folks. And so this election is going to be very important, isn't it?
Absolutely important. And it's going to be important all over the place, and also here in Missouri, too. The work does not end. When we sent out our statement on Tuesday night, we said we're going to celebrate as Clue by getting back to work on Wednesday morning, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. There's a lot to be done, and there's always more left to do. And I think if we all stay working together and do what we can make sure that we use this momentum for something that's really important.
We're talking with Kathy Sherwin. She is the vice president of the Coalition of Labor Union Women of Missouri. How do you think the Janus decision, which curtailed public employee freedoms, labor freedoms, and workplace freedoms, how do you think what kind of impact do you think that had on this election?
It's hard to say exactly how much impact it had on this election, partly because public employees in Missouri have been under attack for so many years that there's a lot to unpack there. And so I think that's one of the reasons why, even though there were a lot of different battles that were going on in the state legislature, including one terrible bill that's going to impact public employees taking effect before long. But we still saw people from all sorts of different sectors and backgrounds who all got together to fight this bill because it was such a direct attack on collective bargaining rights. And I think that the awareness around that unfair decision just served to motivate more people. And to, if there's any moment in time where we can ask the classic question, which side are you on? There's no doubt in Missouri.
And the we've got about a minute left. The governor had to resign amid scandal, you said. What was that about?
Well, it's kind of a long story.
Oh, but, which we don't have time for.
Yeah, I know, with a minute left. But there was a governor who was running with a lot of the support of dark money donors who tried to fund this campaign. And he got caught up in scandal earlier this year and refused to resign. There was a lot of time that we could have lost the focus, but the working people in Missouri didn't do that. I'm so proud of what people have been able to achieve.
Well, listen, it was it got a great deal of national attention. I know all over social media in the last couple of days, people have been talking about the victory in Missouri, and I think that they are hoping that this is the beginning of something big in the midterm elections. And I just wanted to say congratulations, and it's terrific to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Let's hope.
Kathy Sherwin, the vice president of the Coalition of Labor Union Women of Missouri, thanks very much for joining us, and you can go back to your family now.
Thank you so much, Chris, and all of you. Thank you. Take care.
We'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the DC 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. We're on the air Sunday nights at 8 p.m. and we rebroadcast at 1:30 on Wednesdays. We were talking in the last segment about the victory in Missouri earlier this week, but there were elections across the country. And joining us now to talk about both the results of last week and the importance of this year's midterms elections is DC 37 Political Action Director Jeremy John. Welcome back to the show, sir.
How are you, Chris?
I'm good. I hope we're good.
Yes, we're very good.
Okay,
very good.
Let's talk about how good we are, because you know, in terms, the midterms are always tricky because we tend to turn out for the presidential elections and maybe not so much during the midterms. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, traditionally, you usually see a significant drop-off on the midterm elections. Quite honestly, that's where the president in office usually gets to, support his party. And in recent history, we've seen where it swung the other way. Recently with President Barack Obama in 2010.
That was a huge thing. 2010 was. Go ahead.
The Democrats saw significant losses, and Republicans won both the House and the Senate, altering much of the president's tenure in office and policies
and his ability to get things done.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, there were also elections in state houses across the country, and that has also had. We were just talking the last segment with Kathy Sherwin of Missouri, talking about the impact that these state elections have had in terms of the legislation that's coming out of the state houses.
Absolutely. I always point to 2010. That's when the houses, both the legislature and the governor's offices, swung the other direction in a vast majority of states. Over 100 different offices switch hands, 100 different bodies switch from Democrat to Republican or vice versa in 2010. And that has had significant impacts both on us in labor and to many in the progressive movement.
Well, I mean, certainly in 2010, Scott Walker was, although he wasn't elected in 2010, I don't think. I think he was elected
before that, yep. But the legislature swung.
And that's and then he was able to pull Act 10 out of his hat,
exactly.
which kneecapped public employees.
Absolutely.
I think we need to talk to listeners about the relationship between labor and the parties. If my sense of this was, we're with the party that tends to be with labor, and what has been proven over the years is that the Republican Party has really had an anti-union agenda. I mean, this isn't. This seems to me simple and clear. What's your thoughts?
I mean, there are several different things at play there, right? Often people point to the money that has impacted politics, and the Wall Street folks and the big business folks have made established a strong relationship with the Republican Party. Quite honestly, those are usually the folks that are not supportive of labor, and they don't see the world. We don't share the same worldview. They don't believe that workers have rights. They don't believe that workers should have fair wages. They don't believe that workers should have health care.
They don't believe the rich should pay taxes.
And they don't believe the rich should pay taxes, right? And those are the people that have made it their business to make sure that Republicans and conservatives in general, I want to be specific. There are some good Republicans out there.
Right.
We endorse a lot of them. But they want to make sure that conservatives are in office. And those conservatives that have come to power most recently have resulted in significant sea change within the labor movement. We've seen the host of right-to-work states that have come up over the last 8 years alone.
Right.
We've seen the Janus and the Janus case and the previous Friedrichs case, and all these other Supreme Court cases are coming up under Republican regimes. Excuse me, conservative regimes, and they have the support, the financial support of these conservative think tank groups out there that are trying to alter government.
Well, and this is certainly, to me, there was one reason to vote a certain way in the last presidential election. I mean, if you just needed one reason, it was the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court.
Right? And that the person who is in office, who picks the Supreme Court judges, determines in some way the next 20 years of judicial thought.
Correct.
And so let's go back to this idea, though, of midterm elections and, let's go back to what happened this past week in terms of, are you encouraged by the results across the country?
So I'm ecstatic about what happened in Missouri. I think in a state that has historically not followed the progressive banner, for them to make that loud of a voice regarding the status of right to work in their state is great. And I think that that spells great things for the labor movement, quite honestly. But also the results in Ohio 14. It just continues a strong trend that we've seen throughout this year for the progressive movement in this country, that we're not happy with the people in Washington, whether it's the folks in the House, folks in the Senate, or folks in the White House.
Ohio 14 being, what is Ohio 14? You just said.
So in this past Tuesday, there was the special election in the 14th congressional district in Ohio. That's where we saw a ruby red, has been so often described, a ruby red congressional district. Although the Republican won, this was a district that has historically gone for the Republican Party, and the Democratic candidate came roughly within about 1,500 votes.
Wow.
Of winning.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a squeaker.
Yeah.
And
yes.
So you're saying it's a district that has historically been profoundly red.
Profoundly red. Okay. Yes, ruby red.
And that's telling you something. What is that telling you?
That's telling you that it reinforces this notion that we saw early in Alabama, that we also saw in Virginia this year, that there is a progressive wave that is sweeping the electorate, that the so-called victories and so-called gains that has been won by this current administration is not really reaching the people, but it's only empowering the less than 1% of our country. And although the job numbers are saying one thing, we're still seeing folks who are having problems finding work. We're still finding folks who are having difficulties with their health care. We're still finding folks who are not happy with the course of government. And when folks are not happy with the course of government, this is the results that you see. You see a district that has been historically, the last time a Democrat was elected to the state was in the 1930s.
Wow.
Yeah. And for this race to come within this number, within 1,400 votes, is a telling sign, particularly, again, in Ohio, in the Rust Belt, in middle America, which helped decide the previous presidential election. For this race to come to be this close is telling.
And let's take it back to New York and our home state and our home city. What is it that we're doing at DC 37? What is it that you want to do that we should be talking about in terms of engaging members and talking to members and what members can do?
So we have two opportunities this year to elect people that are going to be telling our story and representing us in office. We have statewide elections where we have endorsed several candidates, and then we have the November election where we have endorsed numerous candidates. And
when is the let's do statewide first. When is the date of that?
So the first one is September 13th. It was a Thursday this year. Traditionally, as everyone knows, Election Day is on a Tuesday, but because this year Election Day would be on, because the second Tuesday in September is going to be September 11th, the Election Day this year is going to be on September 13th, which is Thursday. So it's important everyone understand that we're not showing up to the ballot boxes on September 11th. We're actually showing up on Thursday, September 13th.
Good.
That is the Democratic primary throughout the state.
Okay. And then that's followed by the general election.
That's followed by the general election in November, and the date of that one is on November 6th this year.
Okay. And what can members do if they want to get involved in the electoral process?
So not only do I want members to get involved, they can contact our political action department at 212-815-1550. Or they can find us at Facebook, District Council 37 Political Action Team. And we have many avenues in which members can get involved. We are always door knocking. We are always making phone calls. We are always, sending out letters to let our members know who we have endorsed and how they can get involved. So if you call our office, if you reach us on Facebook, we're more than happy to plug in you into our operation. We are in the process of right now of organizing a volunteer member organizing operation, which our VMOs, volunteer member organizers, right. Go out. They talk to our members. They talk to their fellow members, reminding them about Election Day, reminding them about the candidates that we've endorsed, encouraging them to come out and vote. Like, this is not something that we should take, that our members should take for granted, right? Everyone knows that their power to affect change in the state lies in their ability to vote. And there is no greater impact than for labor to turn out their members to affect change. We've seen significant progress this year because of the because of those in Albany, particularly with the governor and with Senator Marisol Alcantara, who spearheaded the anti-Janus bill that was passed this year through the budget process.
Right.
Like, those folks are significant. Because we worked with them, because we lobbied with them, because we helped shape the details in which we can protect ourselves against, future onslaughts, it's important that we elect folks that are important to us.
All right. My friend is Jeremy John. He is the political action director of DC 37. Again, if you want to get engaged, want to get involved in the electoral process, DC 37 members, this is the way to go. 212-815-1550. Also, you can check out the website, DC37.net. And Jeremy, there is a political action Facebook page, which is
DC 37 Political Action Team.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. That's just about all the time we have for you this evening. A couple of announcements before we go. Join us at a rally in Philadelphia to fight ICE deportations on Wednesday, August 15th. Buses leave union headquarters at 1 p.m. Seating is limited and provided on a first-come, first-served basis. For more information, call 212-815-1502. And join us in Harlem for the start of Harlem Week on 135th Street between Malcolm X and Frederick Douglass Boulevard on Sunday, August 19th at noon. Look for our Green Machine resource and activity table with voter registration, member services information, and gifts for children, and information on our labor, faith, and community outreach and union strong programs. That's the kickoff for Harlem Week, Sunday, August 19th on 135th Street between Malcolm X and Frederick Douglass Boulevards. For details, call 212-815-1500. And as always, the Municipal Employees Legal Services reminds you that they provide legal representation to members who are applying for citizenship. For more information, call 212-815-1818. I want to thank our guests, Kathy Sherwin, Vice President of CLU, the Coalition of Labor Union Women of Missouri, and Jeremy John, the Political Action Director of DC 37. Our producer is Rudy Orozco. The sound engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I am Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.